Welcome, sports fans, to the Windmill Sports Show, coming to you live from the Club Calneva on ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline.
Ken, how you doing?
Good, bud. How many articles you got out this week?
A bunch. And right now, it's actually Friday night NBA action. I've been doing quite a bit of that lately. It's interesting. I usually don't do NBA till later in the season.
But that is interesting.
We need some help on it. I've actually done pretty well so far. Actually 12-2 on site so far, and I got the Spurs plus 3.5 tonight, and I think they're up about 12 points. So.
And that record's no joke. It's actually there for everybody
exactly.
to see.
That's
archived articles and picks.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, we have a system within the computer that grades, and everybody is so particular about records. Of course, I call them the fraud police, but people out there who follow that kind of stuff, they want to know records, and some of them are watching you night and day looking for any discrepancies, but we have a system set up where that's just not even possible. The records are transparent, and some good and bad. I mean, hey, if you're 42%, it's going to say so. If you're 60%, it's going to say that. So, 12-2 now could become 25-22. Who knows? But for now, it's looking good.
If you suck bad enough, can you get fired?
I put it this way. That's sort of a loaded question, but I've been an advocate of that, meaning there we have some, quote-unquote experts who don't do so hot. And I'll put it this way. When I'm running ice cold, I don't have no need to embarrass myself. Like, if I'm really going cold in some sport, I'll tell my boss, man, I got to take a few days off, clear my head. This is terrible. Supposed to provide winning information, right? Pride myself on it. And so, other contributors do the same. And I'll sometimes check with the higher-ups, like, you know what, do we want to cool it with so-and-so? Because, look at their queue. Look at your records in every sport. If they're not beneficial to the paying subscribers, then they say time to cool off.
John?
That makes sense. But if you are running cold, you could also fade you.
I've sort of joked about that before. But, there is such high variance stuff. But I've actually joked about that. Like, hey, if someone's lost, like, 7 in a row, send out the fade alert. Let's help people win one way or the other. But it's kind of funny with the NBA, too, because it's not by nature really my thing, but I was telling my boss the other day.
Is that kind of like betting the don't in craps?
Well, a little bit, but exactly. Of course, you'll be the pry at the table if you do that, but it's also a pretty profitable strategy. But the NBA is one of those things where, like, I know enough about the teams to understand the matchups and things like that, but it's one of those sports, though, where I'm also not so engrossed in it that I'm sort of detached from the results, which is helpful. Unlike college football, I know it's so inside and out that, sometimes I'll take a loss a little tough with the NBA and be able to keep a pretty healthy distance from it.
All right. Quick, John, real quick, an important game tonight in the Mountain West Conference. It goes off at 6:30? Dadgum, I thought it went off at 5. San Diego State versus Fresno State. San Diego State is at home, laying a point, a full point now. Nick used a half on the card, but it's a big game right here.
It's big for the Wolfpack.
That's what I'm saying right now. San Diego State is a 4-2 right now. Fresno State's 2-3. Wolfpack's 3-3. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so, I mean, I guess in this spot, we're kind of rooting for Fresno State here.
The scenario is... The easiest scenario, there's a few, but the easiest scenario for the Wolfpack to win their division is Fresno wins this game, they beat San Diego State, San Diego State beats Hawaii.
Right.
Very doable, both of those.
And then we beat Vegas.
And then we beat Fresno State and we beat Vegas.
And we're in the championship.
And we're going to Boise.
Well, we're in the, we win our, I think it's here. No, well, it could be here.
It wouldn't go to the best
I know
record?
I don't know because that's probably true. But I know in my season tickets from the Skybox, there's one extra ticket in the back, and it says for conference championship. So it must be that. That's a good question. I don't think it's predetermined. Is it not?
I would think that it goes to the team with the best.
That would
record.
Make sense because just for attendance and revenue reasons.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, Josh.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's why historically you used to see the Mountain West game on the blue turf because Boise hosts it pretty much with the Boise Invitational.
But in this fair weather town that it is, unfortunately, that's one game that would obviously draw. If we play Boise State in a championship game, we're going to sell that one out, I would think.
That's
fair weather this town is. Oh, there's a championship game going on? Let's go check it out.
Well, especially if it was in neutral ground.
Yeah.
Boise and Fresno here.
Yeah, I know that's not the case. I know that we wouldn't be hosting it if we weren't involved. And I'm pretty sure it goes to the team with the best record, which would obviously be Boise State.
But you're right. Yeah, they don't host. I mean, the ACC does, but we don't host.
Yeah, we don't.
Game on a neutral championship game on a neutral site.
That'd be awesome, though. Hey, Boise, Fresno.
It would be.
Well, what are you doing, Ken? Going to the box.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we got one here last year, right? Got good attendance. We got a Division II game. Wasn't it Davis and somebody when the Fires pushed them out and they played up there? And they actually drew a pretty – I thought, no one's going to show up.
Yeah,
they did.
We're out of town for something.
They actually drew a decent crowd.
I'd
people just show 100%. Up and watch a college football game. Well, I think they made it free, too, because there's such short notice.
When they were bending it about to – research getting a bowl game here, which, obviously I was advocating for. We'd go to that all the time. And Chris, all Little General said, we can't even get our own fans to come here. How are we going to get our
It's also sad if they show up more for neutral teams than Nevada games.
Exactly.
You know, real quick, and that game kicks off at 6:30, so still plenty of time to get on this bet. I actually ended up with the dog in this. I think Fresno State's at least going to be, you know, San Diego State on offense is just bad. I mean, you look last week at Nevada goes up there, and we looked at the 17, and we actually handicapped this game on the show, and we all three said Nevada is the play here for the simple fact that we're going to come out and play defense, and as long as our defense is invested in the game, we're okay. When they lose a little interest, that's when things get out of hand, you know, in the big losses is what I'm saying. And San Diego State at that point had only scored, over 27 points, I think one time. Or was it 24 points? I'm going by memory.
Yeah,
but my point is that if we can get 10 points, we're covering the game.
Yep, for sure. And that's what I said last week was I attributed kind of the Bills laying 17 to the Dolphins a few weeks back. I had the Dolphins on that day just for that reason. I just don't think that team can score enough to cover that, regardless of what the team that's getting the points does, and that showed true. And that's, you know, it's a big win. It's, you know, San Diego State obviously isn't as good as their 7-1 record was, and they weren't worthy of being ranked, I don't believe. But nevertheless, we don't come out with the rankings. The Wolfpack went San Diego, a place that they've struggled with historically. Had once since the 40s. Get a big road win, and they're alive to obviously compete for the conference championship. It's pretty cool. It's what an ebb and flow the season has been as a Wolfpack fan.
Crazy season.
Ken, you know what's funny? I got some data in that regard. It is crazy, and you're right. I thought, you know, in order for San Diego State to cover that, it's literally going to have to be like 20-0. I mean, they're going to have to shut them out. So Nevada gets three, it's probably going to be close. And then they went down there, played this great road game. And Ken, you mentioned how I thought it was interesting how if Nevada falls behind early, you have to check out, or that's been a problem in the losses. Well, let's face it, it's been a problem in every loss. They haven't had a close loss yet, which is what's so bizarre about this team. I mean, the losses to Oregon, the ones to Wyoming, they were never in it. You saw that, never. Like, oh, great, first quarter, it's done. Yep. And they have the look of a team that's given up. But I want to give credit where it's due to Coach Norvell because of this. I've been as vocal as anybody, critical of how can a team look like that way that many times. Here's a couple statistics I thought were interesting. So, of course, we remember the first week, right? 11-point home dog to Purdue, win that game. National stage, it's on TV. It's one of the biggest
turnover
wins of the weekend. But, Ken, you know, that week, I think there was another team that was a close, like a 10 or 11-point underdog who also won outright. But I'm pretty sure at like 11.5, Nevada had the biggest point spread win in week one.
Uh-huh.
Nevada also had the biggest point spread win last week, 17. And they've also had the biggest two-point spread losses. This is how erratic. So everyone's
really
talking about their act. So in two separate weeks, they've had the biggest upset against the spread, and they've been the biggest loser against Oregon and Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? How do you figure this team out? But why I want to give Norvell credit, because I heard the commentator saying, and it was, let's face it, I mean, good for the Pack, but boring, it's paint dry. I mean, hard to stay up watching that thing. I mean, it was a terrible game, but good for the Pack. But and announcers were saying how he had taken over the play calling and just said, hey, if we're going down, this is going to be my way, taking over more of the duties and shifted players around in certain positions. And I got to say, from an offensive perspective, I liked it. I thought the play calling was way more situation
too.
Appropriate,
yeah.
Skill level appropriate. I was like, oh, wow. And they're playing to Carson Strong's, you know, look strength, and they got the one guy, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but the guy in there to run on fourth and goal, like the short yardage.
Devontae Lee.
Right, they got him in there doing the short yardage thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, wow, this just looked like more prepared play calling than I've seen. And when they mentioned that at the broadcast, I'm like, you know what, that makes sense. But they actually look different. And this late in the season, to become bowl eligible, I'll say, in the face of those losses, the way that team looked against Hawaii and Oregon, I didn't see a 6-win season coming, and it could be more.
There's a hell of a chance this team goes 8-4. Isn't that amazing?
And that is crazy.
Don't think that, I'm with you, John. Don't think for a second that we can't beat Fresno.
They can beat Fresno for sure. Fresno's been one of the biggest disappointments conference.
What it's worth, John, I researched that game because Kenny and I were talking about it beforehand, and they are. They're 4-5, and that's a letdown. Every game except one, a one-score game.
Yeah,
they've been
sure.
plagued.
They almost beat Minnesota, for God's sake.
Yes, I mentioned that, too. They got routed by Air Force. Hey, Air Force having a great year. Nothing wrong with
good
it.
Good team.
I mentioned, Ken, week two, little did anyone know, as a 3-point home dog to Minnesota, they had them beat. They were up 14 in the fourth quarter, let it slip away, lost. I think it was double overtime. And they've had all the – last week they had Utah State beat, allowed a late drive and a field goal. So they're honestly – they're only a couple plays away from also being a 7-win team.
I did call that to my buddy Gino, who's probably listening, that Minnesota would be unbeaten into November. I figured Penn State would have been their first loss. They still remain unbeaten.
Right,
I think that,
they had a pretty
I think their
moderate
first loss
schedule.
Comes tomorrow.
I think so, too. Iowa gets
them. But, yeah, it's they had their schedule. That's what it was. And then when I saw Fresno State taking to the limit, I was like, oh, either Fresno State's really good or Minnesota's not what they were. And neither of those things were the case.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota also went to overtime against like Georgia State. I mean, yeah. They weren't good early.
Yeah. Exactly. They're the first game of the year. They escaped against somebody.
I think it was Georgia State.
Georgia State.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're right. They're like three touchdown chalk and went to overtime. So yeah, they barely escaped a few times. And then suddenly they really got it going. As we know,
but
Minnesota,
that program's cool. I like what PJ Fleck's doing. I like what he brings.
Oh, and they're crazy with what they've got. Yeah. I mean,
I like his approach and the way
they returned. They made a bowl game last year, despite being one of the youngest rosters in the country. Won their last three, upset Wisconsin 6-6, blew out Georgia Tech in the bowl game. So they had a lot of young guys coming back, which of course a young team becomes an experienced one in 1 year. And then they had the other guys, Rodney Smith, who's been there like forever, one of the top running backs. He was a medical redshirt last year coming back. And so they just did. They returned the core of a strong team, and obviously he's doing the right thing.
And they locked him up through 2025, I believe, because I mean you have USC available.
Immediately
Florida State.
They can't steal him.
And it's I'd like to see what the opt-out would be, the buyout, I should say, because, I mean, yeah, Minnesota's great and everything, but I'd go to Florida State. I'd go to USC. Are you kidding
me? And you know some places are willing to pay it.
Yeah.
But anyhow, in regard to Fresno, so, yeah, they got to win 2 of 3 to get bowl eligible, and their other ones are San Jose State and Nevada. So it's likely,
who's not a rollover San Jose State.
It's likely they'll get 2 or 3. Yeah, and San Jose State's almost bowl eligible, so you can't count that as an automatic win anymore.
Let's talk about this real quick. If Fresno loses tonight, basically their season's over.
Pretty much. That plays into why I'm backing them, Ken. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Same thing.
Well, it goes to the point, not only that, Josh, is that how much effort do you get next week with Nevada traveling to Fresno if their season – I mean, they basically blew it.
Right.
That's the reason – another point that I wanted to bring up is that, you know, I just – I think it's unwinding nice for the Pack. I think we're showing some improvement. You know, we just got to continue down the road. So Pat does have a night off this weekend.
Yes.
So,
it's a good time for it, I believe. You know, they're a little banged up. You know, Daniel Brown got hurt. The great cornerback that he's having a great year, difference maker. He seems to make an interception every week. He needs a little time. Focus on Fresno. Focus on UNLV, and let's win eight. Let's win eight games here. Get a little bit of help, and
who would have ever thought
Boise.
We
kind of thought it before the season, and then have the big Purdue win, and get kicked in the.
It's an ugly 6-1 season, though.
It really is, but that's Pac football.
No, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Get me wrong. Hey, Pac fans or Pac players, if you're listening, coaches, I'm not down on the Pac.
We love it.
I've been to every game.
And what's funny is, even though they've been so erratic, we've kind of had our finger on the pulse of what they're doing each week individually.
Yep.
You know, I was all over Hawaii. I didn't realize Hawaii was going to beat the brakes off us like that, but I knew Hawaii was going to win that game. It's a weird,
it
weird
unraveled,
process.
It unraveled very weird.
It did. That's the thing. When things start going downhill, they remain going downhill.
That's what was tough to watch, John. It's one thing if you're playing poorly or there's bad breaks or whatever, but in that Hawaii game, to me it was pretty clear early on. Down a couple scores, 14-3 there. I mean, it was quitting time, though. That second half, like, nobody out there even bothered.
Yep.
And when we've seen that same exact form take place a few times, especially after the Oregon game, you don't think they'd ever allow that to happen again. It did. And so when you've seen a team basically without a pulse, more or less, within three or four different games, that's really disheartening. You wonder what's going on there. And then you see the San Diego State performance, and you think, okay, I mean, maybe this program, you know, isn't headed in this downward spiral that it appears to be.
The San Diego State win made perfect sense. When you look at a team that's only going to score 21 points, 23 points max, Pac's in that game. I mean, that's the reason the 17 was just way too much. I mean, absolutely way too much. You know, but like I said, as long as the defense stays engaged, you know, the game stays close, the defense stays engaged. I do think there's a concentration lapse when the game does get out of hand. I do think that, you know. But I think a lot of that comes is probably being a little bit disappointed with the way the offense is performing. You know, when you go to Oregon and score 3 points, when you go versus Hawaii, when you don't score. So they're kind of disengaged because the offense isn't holding up their end of the bargain. Hopefully, we're headed in the right direction.
Could be, but sometimes in some of the bigger losses, let's face it, the defense has been, you know, just as culpable. I mean, there have been times where, I mean, the statistics given up to Oregon and Hawaii suggest one of the weaker secondaries in the country.
Yeah, but they do make plays, though. They make big plays. The Daniel Brown.
And that was a bad spot for us going on to Oregon. I mean, after that, you know.
I mean, and you're right. It's a good spot against San Diego State because all you have to worry about, I mean, they're one-dimensional. I mean, they're going to do that pro-style thing. I'm surprised Rocky Lions, how many games they win every year. But it's basically 3 yards in a cloud of dust. On first and second down, maybe throw it on third and six. It's pretty easy. You know, really have to worry about explosive plays with the exception of they've had those great running backs over the years.
You know what I liked from that game? He didn't play outstanding. He wasn't next level out there, and they didn't win because of him. But I thought Carson Strong – I like the presence that he has out there and the fire that he brings.
And he made a lot of good throws.
He really did. He's got a really nice arm, and he can make all the throws. And just how fired up he was, and you could see them kind of rallying around him. I thought that was a huge win for the trajectory of his career going forward.
I can see that. I can't disagree with that. We do need to pick a quarterback, and I think it's obviously going to be strong. And it's, you know, Malik Henry, he won't be back.
Yeah,
and I feel
I'm kind of glad that we saw it. We got to see that though. Just
I agree
because we had to know about him. We had to. And Christian Solano's been great.
I feel bad for him. I do too.
Unfortunately, he had the hand injury, and you know he came in and produced against UTEP, and it just he's been here a long time. It seems like Solano's been here. I think he has been here 5 years, actually. But, you know, our buddy Derek Bennett's son, Caden Bennett, next year we'll have an opportunity, I think. But Carson Strong, at least for this year, I think you can be confident going forward with just Carson Strong. Yeah.
And I thought the play calling had improved to suit his strengths as well, right? I mean, he's got the accurate arm, but some of those – you know, kind of intermediate outs and slants. There are things; those are the routes that he throws really well and on time. And again, I just thought the improvement in the game planning strategy was, to me, it was really plain to see in that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's head off to our first commercial break. We come back. Wolfpack basketball tomorrow night. Big game coming in. We have USC coming in tomorrow. I'll give the line. Give my opinions and thoughts on that, and we'll talk Wolfpack hoops on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back. ESPN 94.5 FM. Make sure you like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's us on Facebook. And like, you know, we're talking about Josh's record in the NBA. You know, you can follow all his stuff, too, at Sportsline. It's all there, all online at sportsline.com. And Josh Nagel 1 on Twitter. And you can follow me on Twitter, too, I guess, at my first and last name. I'm that creative. Ken Barlor, B-A-R-L-O-R, on Twitter. That's it. So that's
Actually, your actual handle, though, I believe is K Barlor, correct? Because I had to look it up today for what I was telling you about.
Great.
Actually, Ken's on vibe. I believe your Twitter handle is K Barlor. You could look it up.
Great.
I'm just saying you don't want to give out the wrong one.
Yeah, I don't know. Heck, I don't know. I'm more of a follower when it comes to Twitter, unless something really, really pees me off.
Yeah, unless Musselman does something.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, too. So with that being said, let's talk about Wolfpack basketball. Nevada, 2-1 on the year, playing pretty well. All three games. They have a four-game homestand. To start the season, and I do believe they go on the road. And I think they play Tuesday at Davidson. Is that right, John?
You know, I was looking today, and
I'm pretty sure
I got busy for once in my life. So let me double check that. But go ahead.
No, I think it's Davidson. But anyways,
yeah, I'll look it up. I have it right here.
USC's coming into town. You know, USC, they're 3-0. They're 3-0 on the year. The first time this is their first road game. They opened the season.
Yeah, at Davidson.
At Davidson, okay, yeah.
And then the Paradise Champ.
I'm excited about that, too. They're going to the Cayman Islands next year. I thought you could go only one time every few years.
Well, they're different tournaments.
No, but I thought the NCAA only said that you.
Oh.
That's what I thought.
Right, that you can make that overseas trip only so often. You're
well,
right, but I don't know.
It's still North America.
Right, so that doesn't count against
it. Yeah, I guess it doesn't count.
Hmm. Anyways.
There's teams that play in the Maui Invitational every year.
That's
right, that Atlantis
thing. Well, Chaminade.
Or Great Alaska Shootout.
Yeah,
there's you know, there's some great tournaments out there.
I guess so. Okay. Florida A&M, USC opened up with. They laid 27 in that game. Handled Florida A&M pretty good, 77-48. Then USC played Portland. All these games were at home. They laid 20. They played 22.5 in that game. Win by 11, 76-85. And then their last game was versus South Dakota State, also at home, lead 14, won 84-66. USC coming to Lawler tomorrow night, 3-0, first road game. You know, and when I saw this, you know, we talked about Nevada being 2-1. They opened up the year with versus Utah, lose a close game, 79-74. Then they win their next two games versus first one versus Loyola Marymount, laying 9. They win 72-67. Then they play Texas Arlington, and they win that game 80-73, laying 5. You know, I look at this game, and I just – this is a really, really, really tough spot. You know, I just don't know – John, do you know what the line is? I do.
I posted it. Yes.
Did the line surprise you? I'll tell our listeners right now.
It definitely did.
USC minus two. Man, I love Wolfpack. I haven't missed a home basketball game. I don't know how many years. I kind of pride myself on having a pulse, you know, on Wolfpack basketball. I think I probably run it at an 80% clip on them, and I'm not joking with that, you know, because I tell everybody, you know, what I like. You know, I said that Utah was the wrong side. We had the wrong favorite in that game. Utah wins that game. I thought it was too many points in the Loyola game. We win that game. Texas Arlington, I had Nevada in that game. I thought it was a perfect spot for a bounce-back game for Nevada. So we're 3-0 on the year, and, you know, as far as, you know, ATS against the spread. And I tell you what, USC coming in here, USC is a very, very big team.
Big.
Huge. I mean, their front court is 6'11", 7 foot,
yeah.
6'9".
Isaiah Mobley in particular, freshman McDonald's All-American. You know, when I read about him, he's 6'10". It sounds like Jordan Brown is what it sounds like, yeah. To tell you the truth. Not to keep dwelling on Jordan Brown every time we get on these microphones, but that's the thing, Kenny, is a team with a talented front court like that, as young as they may be, because they're littered with freshmen. Andy Enfield, he's getting his guys in there from his run at Florida Gulf Coast. I hate to say it, but I'm with you. The twos just seems
asinine. I was very surprised. Very, very surprised.
I thought five or six.
I was just going to say, I thought five. I really thought five. I thought we'd get a little respect for being 2-1, a young team.
I think we're getting respect from
getting Jaden Harris back.
Not that in particular, but just name recognition and the fact that the Wolfpack's, what, 44-1 the last 45 games, whatever it is at Lawler Event Center, yeah, over these years. You know, and that's, you know, obviously the Martins and JC are gone. But I think that's a little bit of that in there, that the public just sees Nevada and be like, oh, yeah, Nevada can hang USC. It's not UCLA.
No, but you're right, especially the last couple of years when you're laying like 20-ish points against every conference opponent. I mean, Nevada, Sweet 16, it developed a reputation. If people see the late-night game on ESPN or CBS, yep, Sports Network, oh, wow, they're blowing people out, and now it's a more credible program. Ken, I told you the other night, it's funny, remember what I said about Loyola Marymount last week, and they beat, you know, the plus 9.5, yep, they were right there. And I thought Nevada
– just couldn't quite pull away.
Nevada was – that's what Loyola Marymount does to you, though, John. I say play them as an underdog because they are hard to get rid of. They're annoying. But those first two games, yeah, six-point chalk against Utah and about 9.5 against Loyola Marymount. I think reputation played into them being a little, you know, overvalued. Then I just thought it went the other way. Like, I looked up UT Arlington the other night. I'm like, you know what, that's a really good team. But suddenly, like, all right, it's adjustment time. It goes down to 5 in the pack. And I thought, you know what, now it's the time to jump on them. So we get the ebb and flow. And granted, that was barely a cover. I mean, that was skinnier teeth, but yeah, but it counts. And so now you go to this one. I feel like the adjustment's there again, where they said, all right, maybe we've given Nevada a little bit too much respect. This one, minus two, you know, feels like it.
Do they take into account at all that Steve Alford just came from UCLA?
Good point.
And it's familiar, even though they're littered,
I don't think so, John.
Even though they're littered with freshmen.
Well, just on a game-to-game basis, I just don't think it factors in, right, Ken? Because it's just all about,
yeah,
the power ranking that's created
and
with the formulas
the
they use. I think they're just, yeah, with the information they have, it's minus two. I don't think the Alford factor would go into it.
You know, and I look at this game, and I think, you know, I'll be honest with you. I made a pretty large bet on USC at minus two, and I just think that there's going to be some time in this game that if I choose to get off of this game, I think I'm going to be able to come back and get the pack at plus more than, I mean, USC at some point is going to be up 8 or 9 points. There's no doubt in my mind. And then I can come back and play the pack and maybe lay two and take back 7. You know, have a nice little 5-point middle. And then I can root for the pack, you know. But I just don't want to go in there blind and just, you know, I have all the faith in the world by the end of the year we're going to be a beast. And I think that I have all the faith in the world that by this time next year with the experience and the athletes and who we have returning buying into coach's system, I think we're on the right track. And, John, I agree with what you've always said, is that, you know, we could not have hired a better coach to take over from us. Could not.
It's a dream scenario that he was available, Steve Alford was available when Coach Mouse did what he did and left us. And you have that quality of a coach right there. I'll take in-game X's and O's Steve Alford over Eric Musselman any day of the week.
I agree. And you see, and Mark Shannon and I were talking about it. You know, you see him calling timeouts, yeah, at crucial points in the game and coaching the kids up. We're calling timeouts in the first half. I mean, that's great for me because I get to go to the restroom and I get to get another beer.
They announced the early signing class yesterday.
I saw that.
Five guys, and They have the number three recruit in the state of Indiana.
Yep.
So that's not an accident.
No.
You know, he still is Indiana basketball.
Yep.
Steve Alford.
Yep.
And always will be.
Yep.
You see that hotel, the Steve Alford hotel there?
Uh-uh.
It's amazing that they have there's a hotel. It's the Steve Alford basketball hotel, whatever the hell it's called.
Steve Alford Suites.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But yeah, it's they landed a few. You can see
we're getting there.
You can see where he's at. You can see what's going on. But Jalen Harris the other night.
I tell you what, you know what he did, what I saw? I was at the game. I've been to all three games so far. But he finally slowed down just a little bit and let the game come to him. And once he did that, he was a beast. His first points of the year were the dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, his explosion to the rim.
And he kept attacking the rim.
And then he got a dunk later. But, and he only, I think he had 4 points in the first half. And he had 20 in the second half.
Yeah.
But he let the game come to him a little bit. You know, it didn't force it. And, boy, when I tell you what, this kid is a beast.
Yes.
He is, you can tell that
he's as advertised.
Oh, he is as advertised. And he is, you can tell that he is the best player on the court when he's on the court. No doubt about it.
The play of the game to me was the Lindsey Drew block that he just kind of stole. He just took it out of the guy's hand. The guy was going up for a layup, and he just absolutely just thieved it from him and turned around and added the transition bucket the other way. And Lindsey didn't score in the first half after you know, averaging, what, 27 points a game in the first couple. And, and he ended up getting his points. You know, he had – it's just – if you have that guy, it's great that Lindsey can score, that he can do that. You don't want Lindsey to be your number one scoring threat.
No.
You do not want that. Mm. If he can just run the point – play that fantastic defense, rebound. How about a point guard that rebounds the way Lindsey Drew does? It's like Jason Kidd. It's pretty impressive. Russell Westbrook, not to that athleticism level, but.
Yeah, but do you think, I mean, I'm going to say yes. My answer to the question right now is yes. I'm curious. I think Lindsey Drew will have a triple-double this year. I really do. I really do.
I think that is almost a certainty. He came close a couple times a couple years ago.
He came close this year where he had doubles. I think he had 9 boards and 7 assists or something earlier.
I'll tell you what, if they decided that that's a thing that they wanted to do, which would not be Steve Alford's style, and it wouldn't be Lindsey Drew's style, I wouldn't think. But if his teammates around him, what you got to worry about is those assists. That means the other you got to count on the other guys to fill that up for you.
Sure,
because he can get
double doubles,
and he can get his rebounds. He's going to have a block or two in there. He's going to have a steal or two.
Yep.
He's always been a stat filler. And I just pray that that guy stays healthy and just keeps doing what he's doing. Because he's one of my favorite players in Wolfpack history. And I love watching the dude play.
What a jump shot he's created.
What
a jump shot he's created.
How calm he is.
Oh, always. He's always, never
always
emotional.
In control.
But Alford is saying that he's the team leader. He's the one.
Absolutely.
But you don't see him being out there being a fiery guy.
Yeah.
You just see him leading.
Who was the leader of the San Antonio Spurs for 15 years? Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Did you ever see him
yelling at people?
Yeah.
He just look at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Josh, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think your prediction probably has some merit to it. I mean, as improved as he's looked all the way around, it's kind of funny because it was frustrating when he was injured and, of course, would have loved to have him on the court for the majority of last year, but eventually got his opportunity to come back and you're very happily stuck with this new regime and new coach, and now he's getting his opportunity. Now that you know this sort of dynasty team has passed and they've all moved on, he's the guy left behind. It's cool. He pretty much gets to be the integral player in this new era. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. He's just – I don't know. Since his freshman year when, you know, he wasn't hitting those jumpers. And his
shot was so ugly, too. It's coming off sideways.
He was pretty limited offensively as far as scoring the basketball goes, but – he was still making plays defensively. He was still rebounding, and he was still running the floor. And he just – I don't know. I respect the kid's game. Coming from an NBA family, he doesn't carry himself like he's hot stuff. I almost said something else there. But it's just I don't know. I always rooted for that dude. I'm so happy he came back after an Achilles and 2 hip surgeries. And he looks more athletic and more spry than ever.
Well, wait till
it's pretty cool.
Think about that, John. Like you just said, he's played 3 games in 2 and a half years.
Yeah.
I mean, he went out on Valentine's Day a year and a half ago. Is that not correct?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so, I mean.
In Boise.
Yeah, Boise, yeah. And he's just, he's still working off game time rust.
Yeah.
Right?
No, exactly. So, if this, I think that, when Coach Alford talks about look, Coach Alford, every team in America, every coach talks about peaking in January when you get to conference play.
We'll be there.
I think they have that look right now. This is more fun than last year somehow.
It just is. It's a lot less pressure.
That's the thing. We would sit there. We'd white knuckle every game. Yeah. Every possession.
Yeah, every possession. Absolutely.
Every possession.
Sometimes I wonder if Nevada would have been a little bit more successful last year if Cody Martin wouldn't hit that three at Boise. Would it have refocused him that late in the year?
I don't know. That was a great. That's.
It was exciting.
Coach Muss did say he was really looking forward to this year.
Yeah.
To have all the pressure off.
Yeah.
And to go forward. And just not have that stacked up pressure.
All right. Well, Wolfpack plays tomorrow. USC Pack at home, laying 2 right now. I have not seen a total in this game. I'm going to expect it's going to be in the high 40s. I'm looking at maybe 148, 149.
Pack's laying 2?
No. USC's laying 2.
That's what. Yeah. You said Pack laying 2. Wait a second.
No. USC is minus 2.
Yeah.
I think the total's going to come out in the high 40s. Talking about Coach Muss real quick, and this is a sports handicapping show, and I want to throw this out there real quick.
Yeah.
Don't forget what Muss likes to do.
Yep.
Arkansas's 2-0 this year. They've played Rice and North Texas. Against North Texas, they laid 9.5 points. They win 43-66. Against Rice, they laid 18 and destroyed Rice 43-91. What I want to say here is we made a lot of money last year, John and Josh, betting Nevada and over in the second half. Well, in the second half, in the North Texas game, they outscored North Texas 27-38, so they were plus 11.
Uh-huh.
They were only favored by 13 in that game. So for certain, they covered the second half there. Against Rice, they laid 18. They outscored them 24-52 in the second half. So don't forget, Musselman still makes halftime adjustments, and he always wants to score 50 in the second half.
Yeah,
keep an eye on that. Josh?
That's good.
Yeah, well, looks like his new program's off to a pretty decent start against that competition.
Yeah, I hope they go 2-19 or 2-20.
Exactly.
No, you don't. You hope they win it all.
That's true. I have a future on them. For
what it's worth, there's some late night hoops tonight in the Pac-12. Reno, just in reference to Utah, came in and had a real nice opening game against Nevada and won at Lawler. They went on to have that
game. Did you see that next game?
They won like by 100 points or something, set a record.
92.
But tonight they're playing Minnesota, and they're only a 4.5-point favorite. I just got to say the Gophers aren't bad. I got a feeling the Gophers clip them. So that's plus 4.5. On Minnesota.
Yeah, you heard this right. You heard this right. The game after Utah played Nevada, sports fans, they went on the road and beat a team by 90 points. Not scored 90.
90.
Beat them by 90. John's firing up his Windmill mobile app right now, and he's going to try and find the score. 90. 90, Josh. 90.
Yeah, it was like 134 to 40 or whatever. Yeah,
Josh, I like your analogy right there with the Minnesota team. You know they're going to be big and they're going to play good and getting points. What time is that game?
Oh, I want to say 7 or 7:30.
Tonight.
Yeah, so you still got time.
So you still have time to fire up your Windmill mobile app and maybe get a little bit of a Minnesota wager. So you're going to throw that out for the listeners, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Just remember, last year Minnesota came on strong, Sweet 16 level team. They did make it, lost to Michigan State.
John?
You keep giving me the Utah Jazz. I don't want the Utes.
Oh, goodness.
What the hell is a Ute?
Listen, we're going to go after our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll give out
143 to 49.
143 to 49. Who is 143
against
to 49?
Jerry Rice's Mississippi Valley State.
What in the world was going on in that game? All right, let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into football on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back, sports fans. I'm your host, Kenny B. Goodness sakes, we're getting crushed on the craps game. Some guys got us beat for about 6,000 on the craps game right now. Let me read this text.
You're playing craps on a phone app?
Yeah, right now. We got a couple on craps, been there all day. They bought in 300, and they got me beat for about 5,800.
I got to go down there and give it a roll.
Horn high, yo, all the hoppers, baby.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. All right. Let's. We talked a little bit about Wolfpack and tomorrow. USC games at 8 o'clock. Pack getting 2 at home. USC coming in undefeated at 3-0. My initial bet is on USC at minus the 2. I don't think it's going to close at minus 2. I think when the public weighs in, it's probably going to – I think it closes at 3.5 minimally.
I think you're right, by the way, and it's funny because take the best of it on a Friday night and Saturday college basketball, literally nobody's paying attention. That's not even going to be the real line, right? It could be 4.5, whatever. But if you know you're getting the best of it, that's huge because in college hoops, that's where you'll scalp major value. And you're exactly right. I'm curious to see when we wake up tomorrow what that spread will be, but you're getting by far the best of it now.
I'm actually going to pull it up right now and just see John, still 2. So, John, we were talking the Utah game. What now?
What?
You got it before the break.
143-49.
143-49. Yeah. That's what you told me. Wow, crazy. Yeah.
But that set
crazy.
Like some sort of record, right?
Yeah, that was
largest
that was,
margin of victory in like 100 years.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know the exact particulars, but yeah, it was it's something else. And you know, watching Utah, I think that's a good team. I think that's a bet on team. I saw some publications, and it was pretty consistent that they were picked ninth out of 12 in the Pac-12. I don't see that.
No, and I agree. And the thing to pay attention to, since we've seen a sneak preview now and have a chance to probably watch them a couple other times, look, I would play on them as a dog. Look at them in, you know, when conference play starts, when the projection might be low and they're getting a bunch of points against Arizona State or whoever else is projected to be good. Look at Utah in that underdog spot.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Let's we got to get
Larry Krystowiak.
Let's get to this NFL card real quick. Browns, Steelers. Steelers were due for a doozy last night, and Mason Rudolph, he actually provided that for us. He played probably one of the worst games as a quarterback I've ever seen play. He constantly airmailed balls over the receivers' heads. I think it's just one of those situations where, you know, they'd win so many games in a row, it was bound to happen. What happened at the end of the game with Miles Jack, it was Miles Garrett was absolutely
– Miles Jack would have killed him.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting.
Florida State.
He's been suspended for the rest of the year, and now they're talking about him possibly being suspended for the for next year too. Which, you know, if he would have done that on the street,
yeah,
he'd have gotten in trouble for assault. I mean, it's just or battery. It's just crazy.
Now, I wish it was two other teams that the Steelers were involved, because it'll sound like, you know, it's a source losing Steeler fan, whatever. I had a bet on I bet the Browns last night. I knew the spot was just, it's the Browns Super Bowl, Thursday night, Steelers a little banged up, Mason Rudolph's garbage. It all pointed to the Browns for me last night. And, you know, they came out and Baker Mayfield looked really good early. I thought he was.
They tried to give it away.
They did. They gave the Steelers an opportunity to come back in that
game. I really thought when it was 14-7 and Pittsburgh got the ball late, they were going to go. I had it all.
They didn't get that third and one. Yep. It was
final pick that did
what
it.
How many times did they have third and short, and Tomlin went away from the run game?
Yeah.
When Connor
went down, that kind of changed stuff.
Not, you still got it. Listen,
I'm
Josh,
with you. I was
John,
not.
That's your bread and butter, your guts.
I'm with you.
Let's run the ball.
Edmonds can run. Samuels can run. Yeah. They can do that. It was a frustrating game all the way around.
No doubt about it.
You know, for Mason Rudolph, I mean, what happened? I mean, it was a shocking.
These kids make these throws in college, John. Why can't you throw a 2 yard out in the
throws? He was a dead eye at Oklahoma State.
And he's dead eye most of the last few weeks too. It's kind of funny too, the irony being, or coincidence, that Baker Mayfield always got the best of him in those Big 12 matchups, then he did it again. And Rudolph, it looked pretty good. But yeah, I thought situation wise, it all set up for the Browns, and not to mention the Steelers were going to be the public favorite of all time because they had won a few games and they're looking good. And God, they keep winning as an underdog. They beat the Rams and the Chargers and everybody. Like, wow, they're coming along. So you knew the public would play them, and I was like, people were like, well, why is Cleveland even favored by 3? It's like, you know what? It tells you on a neutral site, it's basically a pick 'em, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I played Cleveland as well, but that ending was something else, because not only, and I kind of tuned out, but I heard the commentators talk about it.
I love Pouncey now.
And then I saw it. But then, you know what's also the wildest thing is Myles Garrett, of all people, to be the culprit, because, I mean, that guy seems like one of the most
great
distinguished,
dude.
Well-spoken, articulate athletes. I mean, if you had a candidate, like, who's going to do that? Everyone say perfect or, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah.
And he would not be on your list. So when I saw, like, who's the guy swinging the helmet at a, you know, empty head, open head, I'm like, Garrett, what happened?
And he's lucky that he didn't swing it with the other end of the
helmet.
Exactly.
And Ken, I mean, he jeopardized.
He's bad enough.
And not to mention, you're right. I mean, luckily, there wasn't any serious bodily harm done. But nonetheless, in the aftermath, Garrett's career, it's in jeopardy. He's going to be suspended for
a long time.
Yeah. I tell you what, one more thing, John, I'm going to throw it all to you. The one thing that I did see that I loved out of Mason Rudolph, the loyalty when he. He went after his helmet when he had his helmet, respectfully, like it was his child.
Yeah.
That's how much he was defending the Steelers and what they represent. Yeah. I was like, wow. He very easily could have just, you know, like said, what? No, he was that. It's like you sold his gun or something. I mean, he went after it. I mean, I really was impressed by that. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
And that's the thing. When you see the reaction of Marquise Pouncey, of David DeCastro, you see the guys around him. Yeah, he had a bad game. He's not. I don't think he may not be the quarterback of the future. He was playing well up till this point. We can't forget about that part. But they seem to rally around him. And when you watch what happened in that play, with Myles Garrett. And you're right about Myles Garrett. I've always been impressed by that dude. He just he seems like one of the most just stand-up dudes. Just a he was never full of himself. He had the fan punch him earlier in the year.
I pulled him over and punched him. Said, hey, can I take a selfie? Yeah. And he was laughing about it on Twitter.
No, I love that story. Yeah. Well, you know, and he started showing signs this year. He punched Delanie Walker, remember, and got ejected from that game. And he's had a couple other unnecessary roughness penalties, stuff like that. So he's done some things out of character, it seems. And, you know, on that particular play, you know, he was kind of holding him down, holding Mason Rudolph down, and Rudolph's kind of fighting for himself. And when you look at it, it looked like either if Mason's trying to take his helmet off, Troy Aikman said that he thought his hand was lodged in there, and he was trying to dislodge his hand. I don't know what the case is. Josina Anderson had a tweet that she deleted right away, said that he said something racist. I don't know how you make that leap.
Yeah, well, how do you know?
Exactly. It was unbelievable. She deleted it right away. She's one of my favorites on ESPN, so I was really disappointed by that part because he is a Trump supporter. So that's, of course, we're going to jump to that.
Well, you know what, though? It's really hard. And what's funny is we'll never know. Like I said, even with the replays, never know exactly, you know, the sequence of events and what prompted. But it's clear that they were in board. Like, they were kind of, you know, scuffling and something was going to happen. So regardless of that, because even as the replay tends to suggest, even if Rudolph sort of, you know, grabbed the face mask first or whatever, there's still no excuse for that level of retaliation.
That kid can't
catch a break. Yeah. But he went off there to detach his helmet. He was so out a few weeks ago against Seattle. And then last night, after all that, after getting clunked in the head with the helmet, they get pushed down again by the
smoked by that guy.
Right.
Did you see what he said when he was on the ground?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was hilarious. But he just can't win,
you
man.
You can't. And that's the thing is, I kept thinking about if that was Ben Roethlisberger. First of all, I don't know if they kept calling Mason Rudolph the instigator. He was not the instigator. He escalated it for sure. But he didn't instigate that. He was getting held down late after.
Exactly, and a meaningless play.
Yeah, a meaningless play. They let Myles Garrett through because they're running the screen pass.
Right.
They let you through, bro, and then you go to
and they did
that. And it was just, I don't know. I couldn't believe the way it unfolded.
Two things I want to bring up real quick. First of all, they meet not this week, but the following week.
Yeah, 17 days. 16 now.
Yeah, back in Pittsburgh. So that's going to be interesting. But how about the end of the game after, you know, Pittsburgh, they basically they handed the ball off. The kid took the knee.
Yeah.
The officials, you know, basically came out and said, ball game over. How about Kitchens going out there? No.
Yeah.
And he made them run another play. Yeah. I thought that was classless, too.
This is the Browns.
Incredibly classless, because they were going to let him walk away. It was all going to be done.
This is why I wish the Steelers were involved here, because this is going to sound like a pompous-ass Steelers fan. This is the Browns. This is who they are. They're the most undisciplined team in football.
Did you know the last five coaches got fired after they played the Steelers?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Good job. You finally beat them. Celebrate your victory.
Yeah.
You won your Super Bowl. Good job, Browns.
See you in 2 weeks.
Guess what? We'll see you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be you.
You know what's terrible about that?
Well,
hold
on, Josh. Maybe Cap has his workout tomorrow. Maybe Cap,
I'm in.
Quarterback
I'm
in 2 weeks.
Steelers are playing on Sunday. They can have everybody there. Josh. I'm in.
I just said that their history of being self-destructive, it is crazy, though, because I was looking at their schedule last night. I was like, you know, as much as a disaster they have been versus expectations.
Yeah, I agree.
And granted, it was a really difficult schedule. But, hey, everyone was picking them to win the division. Like, you're not supposed to be 2-6 by now.
Yeah.
But they win that game, and you look down the rest of the way. It's like, ooh, two visits with the Bengals, and you got the Dolphins. And suddenly 9-7, something like that's not too, and they've already beaten the Ravens once. It's like, so it's not out of hand that they could possibly get
and
that.
And I liked what Baker
get that wild card.
I liked what Baker Mayfield was saying after that, that he's embarrassed by it. You can't have that. Yeah. This is something.
But then of course they just go and do this. And
this is better than. At least Sam Darnold still thinks the Jets are still in the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. Did you see that interview?
Yes, I told you. They kept playing wrong with that.
I guess technically you are, but what? Give me a break. Anyways, we got to get into football. Let's
but real, real quick.
Okay.
There's two divisions in the AFC North. There's four teams. Two teams handle themselves in a professional manner. Two teams go about business the correct way. Two teams win world championships. Two teams win division championships. And the other two teams are the Browns and the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
All right.
Look at the respect that the Ravens and the Steelers, they hate each other, but boy, do they respect each other.
I agree.
The other two, get bent, Ohio. The whole state of Ohio needs to go away.
All right. Let's get this first game in real quick. What do we have? Saints. Let's go Saints, Buccaneers, Cowboys, Lions. This game.
Joe, I saw it.
To be denied. To be determined. Cowboys, looks like Matthew Stafford is not going to play in this game.
Oh, that's why the spread's so high?
Yeah. Look. So the Cowboys are going to Detroit, laying 6.5, 47. Cowboys are due for a win. I don't think the Lions can beat the Cowboys with a backup quarterback. Dallas coming off that loss versus Minnesota. And I think Dallas is going to get in there and handle business. I'd be looking to play a 6-point teaser and just get the Dallas in a win situation, be able to go into Detroit and win a game on the road.
Right, yeah, that makes sense, Ken. Which is why that specific game is off all the cards on William Hill in the sports book because of that question mark, which I wasn't aware. Obviously, Stafford was late scratch last week, really helped us out, right, Ken? The contest we're doing, we got 2.5 with the Bears. They covered the 6.5 anyway, but it's cool because we got 4.5.
We had a sweater at the end.
But we still got 4.5 points of value, and now it looks like he's out, and that's why you see the Cowboys nearly a touchdown favorite. But, yeah, with Stafford out, I think you can only have the Cowboys.
Yeah, I would love to make a case for the Lions here, but I still, for some reason, I still believe in the Cowboys. I
can see it. You know, and this is a big game because, you know, Dallas goes on the road. They're tied with the Eagles now. Let me switch my page right here. They're tied with the Eagles right now. Both teams are at 5-4. But Dallas is getting ready to go into Detroit and play a Lions team without a quarterback. And Philadelphia, they have to go and play the Patriots. Is that not correct?
Correct.
I always play the Patriots pretty quick, too, I believe.
But just I agree. But it's just you know, here Dallas is as bad as they've looked at 5-4. They could be 6-4 after this week with a game lead again, you know, in the NFC North. Excuse me, NFC East. Yeah. I'm sorry. So we have 30 seconds. We have to go off the track. So with that being said, I'm looking to play now that it's, you know, I look at the number here. Is that, Josh, I can't even see that. Is that 6.5?
4.5.
4.5. Oh, then I'm definitely taking
47.
I'm definitely taking the Cowboys in this situation on a teaser play.
Yep.
John?
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yes.
No, makes sense.
All right, we have to go head off the traffic. We have the whole slate of football to talk. Still, we have one football game left tonight. Make sure San Diego State, Fresno State, still time to bet that. We'll see after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. Coming to you live from the Club County on ESPN 94.5 FM. John the Hawk Stevens almost here. He had to run to the bar.
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. Yeah. How many cold snacks did you get, Montucky? That new beer is awesome,
I got
John.
Montucky cold snacks is what we're doing right now.
Absolutely. Montucky cold snacks here at the Club Caliva. Come down and enjoy those. And thank you to Stanley, our rep, for getting us those. Fantastic beer, Josh. You had it?
I have to check it out.
Montucky cold snacks, baby. All right.
Sounds like some branded pretzel or something, not beer.
No, it's good. Okay. Saints going on the road, laying 5. Nick used 5.5 in this game. Money, a little money coming in on the Saints after the loss last week, up to 6. Totals 50.5. Josh?
Yeah, you know what? Man, the Saints were not looking good last week. Of course, naturally, Ken, that's the one time all year I play Drew Brees in fantasy, and he does that, right? He's usually shooing 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, and nothing in a
isn't that crazy?
Pathetic
just the way
loss to the Falcons. Yeah. And I got to say, though, in this spot, you realize the Buccaneers historically compete pretty well with the Saints. They should have – I mean, actually, they just pulled it off against the Cardinals last week. I think the Bucs are live here.
Bucs are live. You know, Jameis Winston's playing very, very well. Since he got back from the bye – you know, I've kind of preached the praises for Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and their ability to work with a quarterback and to get these guys on the right track. He's averaging, I think, almost 350 yards a game since that bye. And so they're going to be able to throw. The Saints defense, they can play some defense on you. But coming off that debacle against the Falcons, I got to think the Saints are going to give their best effort right here. Buccaneers are live on the road in this division especially. I'm a little leery of it, but I think the Buccaneers are live, and I'm with you. I like the Bucs.
You just got to be a little careful right now. As long as Jameis Winston stays in the game and doesn't make it a turnover.
Throw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
He's playing well.
He is, but he's also very, very, very turnover prone. Did you know that last week – I can't remember the stats. I'm not even going to quote it. But yeah. there was a stat about they either – how would you like to be the team that beat us, San Jose State. You know, last week
we beat them.
They scored on every possession and lost the game.
Did they really?
Yeah, I read that article. Yeah, look it up. Anyways, All right, we got to keep moving on down here. Panthers at home laying 5.5 for the Falcons. This is a prime spot for the Panthers.
Yeah.
Falcons going on the road, beating the Saints last week. Now, you know, the Panthers, you know, at home, playoffs. Come on.
It's
By the way, how did the Falcons go from giving up 45 points a game to 85 Bears in 1 week?
Because it's the Falcons, Josh. We've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, it'd be
years.
Fine if they released good more often. But this year, I thought it was the fall apart for good.
I mean, when you look at this, if you're in a bubble and you saw what happened last week when they go to New Orleans and just beat the brakes off them, now they're getting 5.5 against the Panthers, you'd be like, oh, God, here we go. But you can't do it.
No, I have no interest in them this week.
But no interest.
Last week, me and Ken played him in our contest. Said, hey, we'll take 14 points. So yeah. Got the break. But yeah, we weren't expecting that outcome, a blowout win on the other side. It's just bizarre because, again, this is a team that just giving up points to mediocre teams. They've killed us before. Looking like the worst defense in the NFL by a long shot. And then last week, Drew Brees can't even get a first down, and they sacked him 8 times.
You know, teams, nobody goes undefeated in the NFL, goes undefeated anymore. So it was a bad spot for them, and I think that the Panthers. The Falcons come back down to earth. They absolutely come back down to earth.
Yeah, and the Panthers are due for a cover, man. They haven't been getting there at all. They were good early on, but last week they blew it.
Kyle Allen's a pretty viable quarterback in this league?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'd say give him a little more experience. But right now I'd put him in kind of the Mason Rudolph zone. I mean, he's doing well so far. He does have some flaws, but is he really the guy you're just going to say, okay, let's just cut Cam Newton loose because this is our guy? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't think that Cam will play in Carolina.
Everyone's
anymore.
Saying that.
So if Cam Jordan hits him with his helmet, it's gonna be a little more.
Well, who else? Well, they got Will Greer too. I think it might be the same guy. Those guys have the same skill set.
Seriously. All right.
All right. Next game, Colts at home laying 3 versus Jacksonville. Total's 43.5. You know, Nick used 2.5 on this too. So if you like Jacksonville, or excuse me, if you like the Colts on the white card, you can still get the 2.5 and capture the 3. You know, just this Colts team is up and down. I guess the key here is Jacoby. What's he gonna be like? What's Jacoby going to be like?
I keep hearing varying reports. Exactly. I've heard everything from, he's in there to Hoyer might start again. So it's hard to say. But you know what? Either way, I kind of like the Jags. Of course, if he's somehow out and you can get it now, I would actually get the implied value on the Jags. Just
we got Nick Foles chucking for the Jaguars?
Correct. His first game back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since the injury.
I'm a Minshew guy. I like what he represents. I like everything about that guy. But Nick Foles, I mean, he's proven as, you know, this is a dude that beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. It makes you wonder. I still wonder if the Eagles don't regret, like, hey, they had to go one way or the other, but Wentz can't stay on the field, and sometimes he's just not good, and they have no Foles to go to in the playoffs or to bail him out anymore.
No doubt about it. So this particular game, I'm with you. I think the Jags coming off a bye. I know that because Fournette's on my fantasy team, and I lost by 3 points and without him. Jags coming off a bye, I think they're primed right here. Brissett or no Brissett, I like the Jags.
I do too, especially at 3. If I get to 3 right now, I love the Jags. You know, a low scoring game. I like Jacksonville too. We might use that in our contest too, Josh. I need to check the number. If it's three, I'm going to suggest in the big contest that we're in Vegas.
I think
we take 3. I'll check the line.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Vikings, Denver. Nick has a 10.5 and 40.5 on the card, but it looks like it's. It looks like he doesn't have anything here, or I don't know why he doesn't have a total here. He must have just overlooked that. But
this is 40.5 on the card.
Yeah, but no, if you look on the sheet right here, there's no side. There's no side. So what is he? What does he have up there?
10.5. Right.
So 10.5. Vikings going home, coming off that win versus Dallas. Teaser play for me. I like Vikings are a good football team.
They really are.
They are a good football team.
Cousins
is playing well. Diggs is playing well. Is Thielen back?
No, he's out.
He's out. Okay, so we still have.
I mean, Dalvin Cook's the whole thing. Makes everything go,
and that backup too.
Yeah, I mean, that's just. I was surprised. I had the Cowboys on Sunday night. I buy this Cowboy. I gotta get rid of my Cowboys.
You're in Madison. It's the rookie from Boise State.
A team that I hate as much as I hate the Cowboys. I bet on them consistently, and at the end of every Sunday, I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah,
but it works once in a while.
But the Vikings, you're right, Ken. This is just a solid. 1 through 53. This is a good team, well coached. They don't do a lot of things that shoot themselves in the foot. They're just a solid team all the way around, and especially when they're at home. 10.5, I don't love, but
teaser play.
Broncos are going to score.
And you know what though? That's the thing that scares me. It's like I just feel like the Vikings have that huge Sunday night win. This is a bit of a letdown spot. Even as much as they've been crushing teams at home, Denver's a little bit more viable. Their defense has been shutting people down. That's why. Boy, double figures here is tough to swallow.
It is, but I could see a 17-3 game here. I really could.
I think Minnesota's right there. You know, you look at Minnesota and where they're in the standings right now, they're 7-3. You know, Green Bay's 8-2. Minnesota has the 8th-ranked offense in the NFL, and they're averaging about 153 yards a game on the ground. You know, as good as the defense is for the Broncos, you know, being in the top 10, they're still giving up over 100 yards on the ground. So I'm with you, John. I think that you get a big dose of Dalvin Cook, and I think going to Minnesota is just going to be a tough place for Denver to win. I'm going to be looking to play some teasers to get Minnesota, you know, down under threes, and some 10-point teasers to get Minnesota in just a win situation at home. Dolphins, Bills. Bills going on the road, laying 6. Interesting game. You know, this Dolphins team, you know, obviously they blew their chance at the number one pick. I guess maybe they did, because Cincinnati's not winning 2 games. You know, they're at 2-7 right now. Buffalo, 6-3. Buffalo team just doesn't score a lot. They've only scored 170 points on the year. They've given up 150. So you only have a 24 point differential in their 6 wins. They play great defense. The quarterback, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Good running back. Devin Singletary's coming back.
Yeah.
I like where the Bills are headed, but can they lay? It's another game. I just don't know if I can lay 6 on the road with Buffalo.
Well, here's the thing. This is a 12-point turnaround from a few weeks ago when the Bills were laying 17 against the Dolphins.
Exactly. That's where I think you're taking back some value there.
Now
the Dolphins have come down to earth a little bit.
You're absolutely down. The Dolphins are a little overvalued at this point. Bills a little undervalued at this point after that loss to the Browns there, which I called 2.5. Kenny wouldn't give me the 2.5 on the air last week, and it landed on 3. He was a smart man for that. This is the time I think you take the Bills right here. No, you didn't beat me. We didn't make the bet.
Oh, because, yeah.
We would have pushed.
You tried to cheat me.
I did not try to cheat you. On the card.
Fired up.
On the card was 2.5. Every time we make these bets, we go from the card. This time it wasn't in your favor, so you didn't take the bet.
Well,
that's your MO right
there. I was trying to go by the board.
No, we go by the card.
Like, the great Nick McDonavich told me never to take a bad number. I'm not taking a bad number.
Exactly.
I'm taking the good number or I'm passing.
And this is exactly what I did, too. Yeah. That was a stalemate.
Right.
And it landed exactly on 3 like it should have.
Just like we were staring down each other to poker hands.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
And then all of a sudden, we folded. Yeah. Both of us.
Yeah, we also took a push in the contest, which hurt. And we were doing good. Yeah, we get a half point.
Exactly.
Which is no good.
There you go. But give me the Bills here.
All right, good deal. I'll take the Bills in a win situation. Buffalo's, you know, prime. They're the only 6-win team that's in the wild card. So they're actually all the other wild card teams all have 5 wins. Pittsburgh has 5 wins. Colts and Titans both have 5 wins. Oakland has 5 wins. You know, and Buffalo to continue, you know, play a 2-7 Miami team. Eventually, Miami's got to come back down to earth. I think they're getting better, but this is a game that Buffalo absolutely cannot let get by. I'm looking. It's like teaser week for me. I'm going to move the Bills.
That's a good
down,
one.
Down into a situation just to win the game, Josh.
No, I like teaser leg there, but I would also straight bet the Bills with the -5.
Yep. All right. Ravens at home laying 4.5 versus the Texans. I give. The Ravens are good.
The Ravens are good, bro.
The Ravens are good. 7-2. Why is this number only? Why is this number?
That's the thing.
Only 4.5. Why is this number only 4.5?
I mean, makes no sense to me.
Because the Texans are good. They've won in Kansas City with Mahomes. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
Texans are good.
Solid.
I agree.
I just think the Ravens are the best team in the NFC. I don't think that that's.
Do they have a letdown after that nice upset of the Patriots?
Well, then they just
or right, they just smash the Bengals.
Destroy the Bengals. Thinking,
yeah,
but that's a bye.
Ago. Yeah, exactly. That was like a scrimmage.
It's Lamar Jackson. That run that he had was Michael Vick stuff. What it is.
It is,
and not that Vick couldn't throw because he could, but Lamar also had a 158.3 perfect quarterback rating. The dude is unbelievable, and that's the second time he's had a perfect rating this year. I think the guy is just fantastic. And, you know, as a Steeler fan, watching the Ravens and heaping praise on the Ravens is not comfortable for me, but that's where I'm at. I think this team's fantastic. Anything under a touchdown here, that's what I thought when I saw that matchup. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be about 6.5, 7. No, it's 4.5. That scares me a little bit, but I'm going to roll with it. I'm taking the Ravens here.
Yeah, I like the Texans a little bit just because of that value. Like I said, I mean, given they've played pretty well on the road in big games, Deshaun Watson's right there. It's funny because, right, I have no choice except the thing, too, with Lamar Jackson. I just thought it was so bizarre. The way last season ended, they put him in as a rookie. You know, guy said goodbye to Flacco, and you wonder, wow, is he really, you know, franchise-type guy? He looked pretty good all year, but then the way it ended horrible in the playoffs, Chargers. Right, yeah. You just think, oh, is that the exploitable thing? People are going to find a way to not let him be a threat in the run game and then make him throw it on your third and 10. And just it's like to be continued, but their season ended with a team that strategized, figured it out, right, in a copycat league.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if a team's going to come out and just find a way to defend him. Instead, he's up there in the MVP race, and I got to say, at some point you can't just deny what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's 2019, not to get social with this, but we still look at him as like, oh, is he just an athlete? He's a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's a flat-out quarterback, and he can do more things than your quarterback can do.
That's right.
The dude is unbelievable.
I like to make my six-teamers favorite and over. I'll be having the Ravens in this. The only team in the NFL that's already scored 300 points.
Yeah.
300 points. So the only team in the NFL. So.
And they play Ravens defense, and they run the ball.
Yeah, no matter whether you like it or not,
yes,
they're going to run the ball.
Mark Ingram, man. How about that guy?
Give me how many yards on the ground?
The good thing about him splitting carries when he was in New Orleans is now, not that he's old, 28, 29, 30, however old he is, but he looks fresh as a daisy right now. He looks rejuvenated, and the Ravens are a problem, man.
And he's been huge for them. He's been really consistent.
Right now, I would take the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
All right, let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish up with the NFL slate on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and John the Hawk Stevens. Due to time constraints, we skipped the Jets-Redskins games. John?
Jets.
Redskins.
Jets. Let's move on. All right. Was it as entertaining on the air as it was in the break?
Because we literally, Kenny goes, oh, did I accidentally skip the Redskins Jets? Yeah. Listen, it worked out. It was fine. Nobody knew. Nobody. If you have an opinion and if you are following it down the card, which I know some of you are, and we're like, hey, what happened to the Redskins Jets game? You need to make some changes.
That's right. 49ers at home lane 11.5 versus the Arizona Cardinal. Total is 46 in this game. Nick used 11.5, a full point move to the dog in this game. So coming down to 10.5, 10-point teaser play for me in this game. I think that you get a bounce back game from the 49ers coming off their first loss last week. I like what this Niners team is doing. I still believe at 8-1, and they're leading the NFC only by half a game now versus Seattle after Seattle pulls the upset the other night. I like San Francisco and what they're doing. I think they get back on track, and it's a great spot with San Francisco being back at home, going against Arizona. I think that defense is going to give Kyler Murray fits. I think this is a good game. I'll probably use Ravens and over and Niners and over in this game.
Yeah, I think the Niners get back on track here, but I don't know if that means covering 11.5.
Well, I'm looking to make correlated parlays. I do like the Niners. I do like the Niners in a 10-point teaser.
No, I understand what you're saying here. It's the Cardinals are viable. They're in seemingly every game. They were in the game a couple weeks ago against the Niners, and it's just 11.5 is a lot, Josh. And I think that the Niners are probably that much better day in and day out, but just in this spot, were they exposed by the Seahawks? I don't know about that. I think it was just.
I think
you stretch that rubber band, you're going to lose a game.
I agree. And see, they lost to a good team. They really did.
Absolutely.
It's not like the Saints letting Atlanta come in and beat them. You know, they lost to a good Seattle team. I think they got complacent. They went up 10-0 in that game, and I'm watching the game going, oh, my goodness, Seattle might not score in this game. And all of a sudden, you know, the freaky nature and the bounce of the football, things happen, and Seattle's back in the game. You know, Josh, the one thing that San Francisco wants to do is run the ball. They're averaging 161 yards a game on the ground.
Three-headed monster.
Arizona, the worst-ranked offense in the NFL. They give up 126 on the ground. San Francisco will be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah, I think Arizona – I just think Niners might have a bit of a hangover from that game, right? Go to overtime Monday night, somewhat short turnaround. I'd like the Cardinals to cover. I mean, that's a ton of points.
All right. Philadelphia going on at home versus the Patriots. Patriots going on the road laying 3.5. That's what Nick used there. What did he use on the card? 3.5 and 44.5, and he's at 3.5, 44.5. So this game's not a whole lot of money's been coming in on this game. It's laying pretty flat. You know, I'm not convinced of the Patriots, and their body of work in the first half of this season has not been impressive. Their schedule, and they're getting ready to get into a spot where their schedule is getting a lot more serious. Philadelphia, I feel like they're getting healthy. They're coming on a little bit. I like Philadelphia at home as a home dog in this game, guys, and it's one of those games where I really, really think that Philadelphia can win this game outright. I'll be looking to sprinkle some money line on Philadelphia in this game. You know, you look at both sides of the ball for the Patriots. They've benefited from playing really bad defenses, and their defense has benefited benefited from playing against really bad offenses. So I think that things come down to earth a little bit more here. I like Philadelphia to win this game outright.
Yeah, I like it too, Ken. Like you mentioned, they finally came down to earth after that start against weak competition and lost that game to the Ravens pretty handily. And the Eagles, again, they're so erratic, but at their best, they're pretty decent. And this spot, I expect them to pretty much be in prime form. They've been running the ball extremely well, and that's going to be a key factor. I like the points.
I understand where you guys are coming from, and it's my MO as a bettor is to look for spots like this with good teams valued at home dog with the Eagles. I ordinarily would be there right there with you, but I also look for the value with a team like the Patriots only laying 3.5.
On a short number?
A short number with the Patriots is something that I'm all about. So I understand what you're saying, and normally I'd be on your side, but this time I like the Patriots and would get, lay the 3.5.
All right. Raiders at home laying 10.5 to Cincinnati, totals 48.5. Nick used 10.5 and 48.5 on the card also, so it's a late game on Sunday, 1:30 kickoff. You look at this Raiders team, and what Gruden's done, they're 5-4. They're right there in the hunt of the playoffs. The weird thing about this team is that they have a winning record. They've scored 208 points, but they've given up 240 points. So which is
it's like the Wolfpack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. I like the Raiders in this game. I think I like where they're headed. I like what Gruden's got this team going through.
It's on your teaser.
And it is on my teaser. And it's also me not believing in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, how could you?
Well, I just think it's a new day, though, with the Raiders laying 10
it's
points.
It's a new day.
Granted,
yes, it is.
What's his name? Ryan Finley didn't look that great for the Bengals in his first start. But I still think
high praise saying he didn't look that great.
With the Raiders, horrible. I would say the Raiders have been playing. I mean, they play well as an underdog, and they've played well versus expectations this year. I can't lay 11 points with them.
I understand that, and it's. I mean, these Bengals are they going winless? Is this a winless team here?
Possibly.
I do.
And what's funny? I mean, speaking of which, who could use a quarterback? I mean, if they're giving up on the old red rifle, then they're right back in the. I mean, they're in the thick of things for a strong quarterback class. Yeah, what's funny? I was looking forward. It's too bad. I was looking forward to that toilet bowl. I wanted to see the Dolphins. I mean, I want to see Dolphins, Bengals, both winless. Miami's disappointing.
Yeah,
they really are competitive. That's not good.
And that's why Adam Gase got the vote of confidence for even not only this year, for next year as well. So it's.
Adam Gase did?
Yeah. They said, he'll be back. He's our coach. We're not going to talk about this. So he got that vote of confidence, which could always change. But for this game in particular, Raiders laying 10.5. And I understand what they're doing. They are light years ahead of where I thought the Raiders would be right now. And I give all the credit in the world to John Gruden. I loved that win that they had, the last primetime game in Oakland when he was in the black hole. And he just fits that team so well.
He's doing it all the time now. And every time they do that, it's just a farewell sentiment to the fans.
Yeah.
Because the last time, and when they win, and it's a big stage, and he goes there, shows that appreciation. And he is the Raiders. Like I said, way back when Jack Del Rio didn't really deserve to be fired because he did a good job.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the guy that they got, and the guy who's been rumored, for whatever it was, 15 years, wasn't taking any other jobs, he finally came back, and he's their guy. I mean, I was
10 years, $100 million
it doesn't, but as poor as they looked last year, I just couldn't believe how many people, even some fairly well-respected pundits, were like, oh, yeah, Gabe's passing by, old man, like, you need some, Sean McVay is the name of the day. And
look what he's doing.
Yeah, the game's passed him by. It's like, no one has it. I said, give him a chance. The guy's not, he's not done.
You watched the Rams last week, you think the game is past Sean McVay by
no doubt.
But, yeah.
The Wonder Boy, and look what's going on.
I just talked myself into it. I'm taking the Raiders.
All right, Raiders it is. Rams, Bears. Rams at home laying 6.5. Give me the Rams. I'd have zero confidence, absolutely zero confidence in the Bears. Bears, even though they win last week at home, they played poor the first half. They got two quick touchdowns. They went up 21-6, I believe it was. And then we had to actually sweat the end of the game, Josh. It's just crazy. Bears going on the road. No chance, no interest in me at all.
I agree. And it was funny, you're right. We had to sweat it unnecessarily because they should have dominated that game. Did for the most part, of course, let the opponent hang in there. I was glad we got there, but in this specific case, I feel like this is a major get-right situation for the Rams. In fact, they lost in Chicago back last year when the Bears were looking good.
Yeah.
Rams like 6-3. I think it's payback time.
Yeah, I like the Rams here, but I really like it under. I don't think it gets to 40, let alone 41.5.
All right. 41.5. So that's Monday night.
Yeah, that's the late game. That's the late game on Sunday. I like the Rams too a lot here. Chargers, Chiefs. Chiefs going on the road, laying 3.5. Return of Patrick Mahomes. Nick used 3.5 and 52.5, and that's kind of where we're sitting right now.
Mexico City.
Excuse me.
Not going to be any different. There's no Charger fans in L.A., so.
Exactly. It's not as if it's a huge home field advantage switch over. But you know what? The way with Mahomes back, I just say to me it's a Chiefs thing only because they control that division. They've owned the Chargers lately, and it's time to put their foot down.
They better figure it out, the Chiefs.
Exactly, and they choked against the Titans. They need that win now.
They have to have this, and. You know, this is the Chargers' MO. My number one play, 2 weeks ago, was against the Packers. I thought that was a perfect spot for the Chargers to do what the Chargers do, and the Packers do what the Packers do, and just they laid the egg, and the Chargers rose up at home. I wish this was at home. I'd be all over the Chargers here. The fact that it is in Mexico City makes me take a pause, makes me take a step back. I kind of like the Chiefs now. It's in Mexico City. I want to make that case for the Chargers. Chiefs got to win. If the Chiefs are who we think they are,
I agree.
An absolute AFC Super Bowl contender.
They're only 6-4 right now.
Yeah, exactly.
They do the Andy Reid thing every year, right? No team goes from 6-0 to 6-4 quicker than Andy Reid.
That's right. That's the problem. But Mahomes is back. He's got a game under his belt. He lit it up. They lost the game last week, but he lit it up.
I agree. He played well, too, yeah.
So let's hope their defense as well.
All right, that's our
8,000 feet.
They had like a walk-off block field goal. The Titans, it was crazy. I mean, we went from thinking we weren't going to cover that game because the Chiefs were about to add a backdoor field goal to Titans winning outright.
All right, still one more game to bet tonight if you guys want. San Diego State versus Fresno, 1-point game. We have about a minute
left. Let's go, Bulldogs.
Yeah, let's go, Bulldogs. Win that game outright.
Wolfpack needs you.
Wolfpack tomorrow night plays USC at Lawler, 8 p.m. Wolfpack getting 2 at home. Haven't seen a total quite yet. Josh, got about 30 seconds. You want to throw out anything, you can get all Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Josh, we'll post our best bets.
All right, I'll do one college game, and that would be Iowa -3 against the Gophers.
We match up on that one, Iowa Hawkeyes.
All right, Iowa Hawkeyes versus the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yep.
All right, we'll post our best bets on our Facebook page as soon as the show's over. A little bit later, you know, once we get everything together, we get the rest of the information, and you can get all those selections on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Make sure you do all your wagering at William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. See you next week on ESPN 94.5.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.